It is hour number two of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. At 1:45, where are we at in society? Zay will let us know. At 1:30, we continue cleaning up week 11 from the NFL. In a mere minutes, it is our weekly chat with the great Jeff Ward. I'm Trey Elling. Isaiah Collier is behind the glass, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. Hope you're having a good Tuesday. Maybe your Thanksgiving is already underway. You figured a way to get out of work for this Tuesday, and you're all done for the week. That'd be good. Either way, we're glad you're with us. And remember, RBKD out at Randall's on 620 today with your chance to get not only tickets to Texas K-State, but you get a chance at that VIP upgrade. Those are always very, very cool. Longhorn Blitz podcast tonight at 7. The guys breaking down Longhorn football on a 6-game losing streak and what happens next. And at 8 o'clock, for you high school fans, a special edition of Under the Lights. We had to move it this week because of Longhorn basketball tomorrow. So Under the Lights, 8 o'clock tonight, your show to check out if you love your high school football. Normally on Wednesdays this week, it is a Tuesday show, 8 o'clock tonight with Under the Lights. All right, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline. Normally, he's in studio with us, but today, well, you know, it's Thanksgiving week. He's running around buying turkey and giblet gravy and all that kind of stuff. Jeff Ward, you can go to jeffwardshow.com. It is live each weekday, and he's got the 6 Minutes of Football podcast for you as well. Jeff, how are you, sir?
Hey there.
All right, so 6 Minutes of Football podcast. What do you got for the people this week?
Well, let's see. I think there's two things. One, I can't remember the title now, but long story short is Amari Cooper is a bad employee and a bad teammate.
Okay.
He's not a diva like Aaron Rodgers. How's that?
All right.
Yeah, that team the other night that lost a receiver to a concussion, they had the other guys that couldn't catch the ball, then they put up all of 9 points. They kind of needed him. So maybe it was not the ideal time to go anti-vax on him. And then for Texas, Mike, I think the podcast on Texas was, I know what it is. Here's the thing that does worry everyone. All the numbers are bad, historically bad. But the issue is, give them the eyeball test. And this is a standard question, any new coach, any new staff, and they take over. Is Texas better in week 11 or 12 than they were in week 1?
The answer is no, Jeff.
Oh,
and for me,
no.
For me, that's the most concerning thing about all of this, is that this team is so predictably bad, and it's not changing.
Exactly. Yeah. I think the numbers have sort of been overwhelming, and so I think people lose sort of that macro view, and that's, if you step back and you judge any new coach, if you're going to be fair, you'd say, you know, look, here's the issue. It may not be as good a record as you want, but when you look out there, you should see improvement. Tell me you see any improvement in any facet of the game, offense, defense, special teams. And, oh, by the way, for a guy who's the quarterback whisperer, is that position better now than it was in week 1?
No.
Nope.
No.
Not even close. And Jeff, one of the things that, to me, it would disturb me the most if I was a Longhorn fan is the basics that are getting missed here. He was asked this week about after the season's over, what do you need to work on immediately? And he listed 3 different things, and he never said the word blocking, and he never said the word tackling. And I am a basic kind of football fan, but if I'm a fan and my team can't do one of those things, I'm worried. His can't do either of them at a good level. If they can't figure that part of it out, none of the rest matters, does it?
No, of course not. And the problem is, what you see in the basics today are worse than the basics in week 1 and 2.
Yes.
That shouldn't be happening. That's the worst sign of all. That is, even when somebody wants to say, I want to be optimistic, or I want to give the guy a break, if you just step back and take a view, you'd say, why? What's good? And even on top of that, like I said, for the guy who's the quarterback whisperer, they're a mess. That quarterback position has been turned into a mess. Neither one of them now know what's going on. I know they got a terrible offensive line. We all know that, so it's tough. But they look unsure of themselves now all of a sudden.
The only advantage right now I think he's got, Jeff, is time, that it's the first year. That may be the best piece of news he's got right now. Because if this was going on in year 3, 4, or 5, you know what would happen.
Well, if this is the exact look of this team next year on Thanksgiving Day, he's not back.
Yeah.
You can't be this bad. You couldn't. No, you couldn't. I hate to be fired the guy kind of guy, but if we were to have this exact same conversation with the same macro view of where that team is, and you were to say, you know, here you are in week 12 of season two, and it's just as bad as it was in week one, you can't let it go. You're right. I mean, the upside is, I mean, usually for a team that's had a bad streak or things aren't going well, the theory is you can't wait to get back and play. You can't wait to get back and play and fix it. You don't want to stand around and practice. You want to play and fix it. This is one of those rare occasions when I think the best thing can happen to them is just go away. Like you said, time. Just, they don't need to play anymore. They just need to get away from this and, I guess, find some players. I don't even know what the answer is, to be honest, other than players. I mean, everything is so bad. I mean, and I know bad football creates more bad football. I mean, I'm a believer in that. I've been through it. And good football creates even better football, but they have nothing they can even lean on right now. There's no good area. And the one good guy is all banged up, and shockingly, he's coming back. So there's your level of optimism.
Yeah,
the coaches have certainly had their failings this year. I mean, you can't put the Kansas loss all on the players. The coaches did not do their jobs either. That was an embarrassing loss and a real low point for this program. You can't replace Steve Sarkisian after 1 year. That would be program suicide. But what lengths can you go to try and get this corrected? Should Kwiatkowski be back next year? And if so, are at least a couple of his assistants probably gone?
I guess. I mean, it's, you know, you'd love to be able to find one particular area where you could go, okay, we got the quarterback spot figured out. You got a good running back. You got a good left side of your offense. I mean, if you just had anything good, you could turn around and put a microscope to the defense and say, you know, I thought we could get it right, but you can't get it right. I mean, look, if you were to apply a standard to that staff, they're all terrible. I mean, there's no good aspect to that team right now. So I don't know what you do other than just get players. I don't know if firing one of those guys is an answer, because I don't know if that guy turned around and you're sitting in the office and you said, oh, really? Is the offensive line any better than mine? You'd say, no, they're pretty bad too. I mean, who exactly is the worst of the bunch to get fired?
Yeah. I think if there is anything that you maybe consider doing, it is replacing at least one of the guys in the secondary, because most of the defensive staff was brought aboard before Kwiatkowski was brought aboard, and that's a real backwards way of making these hires versus getting the coordinator in there first.
Well, you know, like any, you know, this is the way it would work in the NFL. Like any team, the first thing you would take a look at is, okay, you know, what kind of shape is my team in? Is it, you know, and then all we have to do is say, oh my gosh, they fall apart. You know, they're a football team that for most of the year was pretty decent for 25 minutes, but the next 35 minutes, they were a train wreck. So as I said a few weeks ago, whoever is in charge of strength and conditioning, that's the easiest target right away. So I assume you'd start there and reinvent yourself and start to ask some serious questions mentally and physically, why it is you can't play an entire game, why you're only a 30-minute football team.
Yeah, that's maybe the most important question they got to figure out. Got to play full games. We'll see if they can do it against Kansas State. We're talking with Jeff Ward here on the Horn. Jeff, interesting you brought up the Amari Cooper thing. I wanted to get your perspective as a former player. You played in an era, and I don't think there is an era of football that didn't involve toughness and grit and sacrifice. You could tell me stories of guys that sacrificed so much in a locker room, that put their health on the line, that put all these things on the line. I'm fascinated now that we're watching athletes that won't put it on the line for something as seemingly simple as a vaccine. Amari Cooper is not the only one, but expand a little bit more when you say bad employee, bad teammate, and kind of where you think this plays out right now on an NFL team.
Well, the only good news is he didn't act like Aaron Rodgers, right? Didn't lie about it, didn't make up stories, didn't act like the hipster diva that he is. So, I mean, he laid low and I guess just owned it, and Dak Prescott had his back, which I don't know what else he's supposed to do at this point. I mean, it's a pretty crucial time for a football team. If there's one group of people, look, I grew up in Austin. I know hippie anti-vaxxers. those hippie anti-vaxxers don't put anything in their body that doesn't come right out of the ground. They're the real thing. I know the real thing, and I'm putting nuts and twigs myself.
Yeah.
So the last group of people who need to be preaching and lecturing to the world about science are the very guys whose livelihood has been dependent upon medical science. I find it completely hypocritical and bogus for an NFL player who probably has screws in his body somewhere, who's been in and out of an MRI machine, who's been under anesthesia, who spends all day every day with medical staff relying on medicine and science to keep them healthy enough to play. These guys are meticulous about their bodies. They are meticulous, and they rely on medicine. All of a sudden, something that is proven on hundreds of millions of people, they're not dropping dead. You decide you've gone anti-vax when you know these guys know exactly what the rule is. Their Players Association agreed to everything about the vaccine. They agreed to the punishment. They agreed to the fines. They knew exactly what they're getting into. And here you go at the most crucial time of the season. This guy who went anti-vax on him, he screwed his team. And he can't play this week.
Yeah, because of the
short. They lose again. Have a nice time playing on the road in January.
So a lot of the different medical technologies that you just listed off did take time to get to the point where they are as reliable as they are in 2021. For instance, anesthesia started out as chloroform. That was something that was highly toxic for people back in the 1800s. Switched to ether, highly flammable around the turn of the 20th century. And now we have nitrous oxide. Because this technology is so new and these guys are hypersensitive with what it is that they're putting into their bodies, considering just how untested and how proven these vaccines are and how there are instances of people, athletes especially, suffering adverse effects from the vaccine, you're not at all understanding of a guy's reluctance to not get vaccinated?
No, I'm not. That same guy is running a far greater risk under everything, all anesthesia. That same guy has got more cortisone in his body than anybody, and he's going to now, which is far more dangerous for you than the proven aspect of a vaccine that's into hundreds of millions of people who aren't dropping dead.
Yeah, there are adverse reactions that are occurring, and already the end of it.
There are adverse reactions to the cortisone in all those guys, far greater than there are to the vaccine.
Somebody who is in his mid-20s is already very low risk if he catches COVID, and it's now coming out that the vaccine doesn't do as good of a job of protecting you against infection and transmission. What it mostly does is keep you out of the hospital, which a guy who's in his 20s in tip-top shape is not necessarily going to the hospital with COVID to begin with, Jeff.
He's not delivering newspapers. He signed a deal that if he didn't pass the test, he'd be out. He knew what the rules were, and he knowingly screwed his teammates. Over what risk?
The irony is that he's not going to have to worry about it for the next 3 months now. Because apparently all of the protocols go away when you've been infected for 90 days after you have tested positive and then tested negative again.
But see, none of that stuff to me matters because the NFL set the path that could make the thing that gets me of where Jeff is going.
He agreed to the deal, and he knowingly knew it. If he got tested positive, he would be out. It wasn't worth the risk to his team. It's not worth it.
He's one of the guys that's making it harder on himself and making it harder on the team, and that's what I'm not getting from the sports perspective. I can't believe guys are doing that, but they are. I mean, he's not the only one.
And he has every right to say, well, it is my right. It is your right. I just said you're a bad teammate and a bad employee. I didn't say you're losing your rights.
But
I'm just saying you knowingly agreed to do something that turned around and screwed your team.
Jeff, to act like there's no risk the other way is disingenuous, though.
Well, sure, it's no greater risk than the cortisone that's in him. I mean, don't preach to me if this guy took nothing else.
What do you keep bringing up cortisone for? What does that have to do with anything?
Because you're talking about medical risk, and the medical risk that these guys knowingly take all the time with every other medicine, every other needle, every other treatment they get. Their livelihood is dependent upon those things that do harm your body. They do. And now all of a sudden you decided not to do one that harms you less than those?
So you don't understand a guy being skeptical in professional sports who has relied on medical technologies in the past that haven't exactly done the job that's been promised? You're wondering about those same people being skeptical of something right now that is as unproven as the vaccine is?
Absolutely, I'm wondering why they're skeptical. They're not skeptical of everything else they're taking.
I think guys probably are skeptical about a lot of what they're taking. It's why we've seen a big push for things like cannabis and CBD and alternative treatments that aren't necessarily these medical-grade pharmaceuticals that have been pumped into these guys' systems for decades.
And they're still taking them.
A lot of guys aren't. A lot of guys aren't anymore. A lot of guys are onto that. And unfortunately, that's a result of players prior to them ending up with serious addiction issues as a result of trusting the teams and medical personnel that are telling them that everything will be okay if they just take this little pill.
Yeah.
I don't find any consistency in the reliability on medicine and statistics. If you're going to hold the line that I'm going to be reliable on medicine and statistics, if you're not going to believe it, then don't believe it. Just be consistent, and then that's the way it is.
Yeah. Well, I think
if you're going to live on these statistics of I'm going to live by the standards of the medicine and the statistics that keep me healthy and keep me safe, then this one applies just as well as any other.
But that's not a blanket idea, though, Jeff. Everything can be taken issue to issue. You're a very independent thinker. You don't believe everything that the Republicans or Democrats tell you, or everything that the Democrats or Republicans believe, because you take things issue to issue. The same thing can exist in the medical world as well.
Well, he decided to take the issue, which is why I'm saying he knowingly took the risk to cost his team. It's a bad teammate. He could preach if he wanted to give me the same sermon and say, well, Jeff, you know, I look at this differently. That's fine, but you made the agreement, and you didn't want to take – if you think it's a risk, then hold that standard, keep it up, tell your teammates, hey, I took the risk, sorry, I'm not going to be out here. I just think it makes for a bad teammate. I don't think he's playing the law of averages at all.
Yeah. I think he's a worse teammate than his actual teammates do.
Now that would be that's an interesting discussion too. I do wonder how some of the other guys react. But Jeff, the thing here is we are seeing more and more of these guys that, and I also wonder over the years do they feel like they have been, you know, lied to about steroids or lied to about this or that, and then somehow this affects their, I don't know, their angle on, you know, something like a vaccine. I don't know. Maybe because the Players Association isn't saying the league is lying. The Players Association is saying that the medicine and the science is sound, and the players agree to it on some level, but then they're coming back around and saying that's what's kind of tough for me.
Yeah, no, I think that's a valid question of the big picture of how these guys view it. I mean, if that were the case, then they should be screaming about their representation because they agreed to these terms. They didn't have to agree to these terms. All the discussion that we're having, they could have held the same thing, and they didn't. Okay, so if they wanted to say back in August when this all was being put together, they have some leverage. They could have said at the time, listen, union representative, you know what, we don't want to be pushed here. We feel like we've been pushed on, you know, other aspects of medicine. We don't want to be pushed here. They could have held that line, but they didn't. They agreed to all of this.
Yeah, unfortunately, the NFLPA has done a terrible job of representing the players over time. That has been on display with the most recent CBA, and unfortunately, far too often, the NFLPA, it seems like they're acting in cahoots with the league versus trying to protect the players with which they're most responsible.
I don't disagree with that at all. They've got a history of getting muscled by the owners. That's why the roster size is so small, and they've made strides. But all this stuff that we're talking about now, or maybe Amari Cooper's talking about with his agent or whatever, all that stuff, you know, it's not like we're 5 years into this. I mean, we're a few months into that agreement. All this stuff was on the table at that time. This was a brand new agreement. This was a long time simmering disagreement. This was a brand new thing that they agreed to. And if any one of them had an issue, they could have helped themselves had they not just said, you know what, we want this to be case by case. And you know what, we're not going to play unless it's case by case. And they could have pushed back on this. And I don't think they did.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, last question this week, Jeff. I hope this isn't the last question I ever get to ask you. I hope you understand that I argue and I debate because I do love your opinion on things. And occasionally that requires me pushing back. So I hope you're on the show next week. I want to say that first and foremost.
I never argue and debate.
This is Thanksgiving week, obviously, and amongst the reasons that we are incredibly thankful in 2021 is the opportunity to get to speak with you each and every week. You are a big reason why why I'm in this industry. So thank you very much for that, Jeff. My question for you, though, is what are you most thankful for at this point in 2021?
I'm about to walk back inside and hear them laugh.
Them being family.
Yep.
I thought maybe he was hanging out with Longhorn football players. No, that's
come
not,
on.
That's not right. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That was
That was an easy joke.
I'm sorry.
Really? I mean, you got your materials that time?
Yeah, I know. It's terrible.
You know, the Aggie in him comes out from time to time, Jeff, and even when he tries to deny that that's the case.
Yeah, that's more of a comedy fan than an Aggie fan.
But I'd love to be able to argue back, but on our side of the equation, we're just going to have to sit there and take it.
Oh, man, that's Jeff Ward. Go to jeffwardshow.com. Check out the 6 Minutes of Football podcast. A little Amari Cooper, a little Texas football for you this week. And at Jeff Ward Show on Twitter. Jeff, we always appreciate the time, man. Happy Thanksgiving, yeah. And we'll hit you next week.
Same you guys. Take care.
Thanks,
good
Jeff.
Good stuff there. Jeff Ward on Tuesdays at 1:05. All right, it is just about pick time, ladies and gentlemen. Trey made some ground last week, so Isaiah and I are going to have to step up our game. We've got three college games and three pro games to pick this week on the Coors Light 6-pack picks. We're going to cram it into a Tuesday show next on the Horn.
Shirts and Skins.
Well, things just stepped up. All right, Isaiah, let's see if Trey can do this one. Trey?
Van Halen.
How dare you? How dare you? You just sang a Def Leppard song and guessed Van Halen.
Is this not Animal?
No. It's not.
Animal.
No. No. No, this would be Round and Round by Rat.
Ah.
So close.
Damn.
So close. Not exactly your wheelhouse when it comes to music. Fair to say?
No, this particular rock genre is something I despise. There are exceptions, though.
I'm glad you said genre, because I seriously thought you were about to swear on the air. I really thought that was about to be the S word instead of genre. That's what it looked like.
No, I'd love to call it what it is, rooster rock. Because it is rooster rock, right?
Rooster rock. That's not a bad way to describe it. That's fair.
But take a synonym for rooster.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is the kind of first wave of what... They're in the hair metal category. Rat is a hair metal band. I'll allow that.
Wait a second. Van Halen has a song called Animal 2, correct?
Van Halen, I don't believe I've ever heard... Oh... Animal?
Animal!
Panama. Now you're just messing with us. Panama.
What?
Is the Van Halen song.
Panama.
Yeah, you knew it was called Panama. Don't be messing with me. That's
I only had to say it 4 or 5 times for you to finally understand what I was doing.
That is a work. I'm sorry. You did it so badly, I thought you were referencing the Def Leppard song. My mistake. I did not get the Van Halen lean there. All right, so Isaiah has not only brought us Barbra Streisand again and Tupac... Now Rat. I mean, now he's just going for an award. Now he's going for like the most eclectic group of songs you can play in one sports talk show.
You know what we don't get a lot of out of him with what? All the great music that he plays on this show?
What's that?
Alternative rock.
Ah, yeah.
What's up
true.
With that?
No alt.
Not a big fan of the alt rock?
No alt rock and no schlock country.
I got you guys.
You got it?
I got you guys.
We need some alt rock.
Yeah, stay tuned.
We need some alt rock, and I need some useless country out of Nashville. Ooh. Can you give me some? No, actually, don't do that part.
How about good country out of Nashville?
Good country's fine. Give me some alt rock for Trey, though. That'll be good. Isaiah Collier is producing for us today, and he is producing when it comes to the Coors Light 6-pack picks. Isaiah still in the lead, although I gained a game. I'm 2 games back. Trey gained a couple games on him. He's only 5 back. Isaiah, any nervousness on your part as the leader?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah?
A little bit, but I like the pressure.
Feel like you might need to buy a razor. Do you even own a razor to shave your face if you lose this thing?
No, absolutely not. You but don't? I know what to buy. I know what to buy.
Love it.
All right, but he hasn't purchased it. Right now, Trey and I would need to get Mohawks and wear them for 2 weeks. We'll see how it works. Shout out to Coors Light for being a great partner of ours. All right, gentlemen, we've started with college. You still want to do that, Isaiah? College?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, let's start with the Iron Bowl, gentlemen. They will do it at Auburn this year, but Bama is a 19.5-point favorite. Isaiah, what do you think?
Golly, that's a lot of points.
That's a lot of football points.
It really
points.
Is.
In a rival game, too.
I'm going to take Auburn.
Going to take Auburn. Isaiah going with the Tigers. Trey, you're going to hear me say, I hope I'm wrong a few times today in the picks. I'm going to lay it and make Auburn prove me wrong. I'm going to take Auburn with 19.5. I almost feel stupid, but I know it's too much. But I think they're going to make a statement after the Arkansas game. I'm taking Bama.
Yeah, make a statement, but maybe this is just an Alabama team that isn't capable of blowing teams out week in and week out. Gosh, if this game was at Alabama, there'd be no question in my mind.
Right.
If Bo Nix was playing,
yeah,
there'd be no question in my mind. But because the game is in Auburn, no Bo Nix, I don't know what to do here.
By the way, when has a 19.5 point line ever been genius? What a genius line this is from Vegas. Well played. 19 and a hook is perfect.
Yeah, because if they'd gone 20.5, I'd probably be going Auburn easily.
Exactly. Exactly. They put it right at the right spot. They're so good at that.
Give me Bama here. I can't take Auburn.
Give him Bama. Isaiah with a big smile on his face could make a little ground there. All right. Let's go to the big game or the game or whatever they call it in Michigan this time. Ohio State at Michigan. Ohio State favored by 8. Isaiah, too many points? Not enough? What do you think?
Yeah, not enough. This is going to be a blowout.
Blowout. He is saying Ohio State. I hope I'm wrong. I'm going to do the same thing. -8.
I'm not betting against Ohio State right now.
Yep.
They are clicking on all cylinders. They made a decent Michigan State team look bad. And that Michigan State team, I know it's not all transient. They beat Michigan not too long ago. So, yeah, Ohio State's going to beat them badly.
Yeah, I hope we're all wrong, but we'll see. All right, how about Bedlam, fellas? Oklahoma State favored by 4. Isaiah, do you trust Mike Gundy that much?
Yeah, I do. Lincoln Riley to LSU. Let's go, Cowboys.
Lincoln Riley to LSU. Trey, it is something. This one I hope I'm right on because I want Oklahoma State to win the game, and I'll take a -4. I think they're going to win this game by a touchdown, maybe 10. I think they're that much better. Their defense is stout. I'll go defense Oklahoma State.
I got to pick Oklahoma State too, guys. As tempting as it is to go with the Sooners because of how much they've dominated Mike Gundy, this is a year where the stars are aligning for the opposite to happen.
All right, three pro games. Let's start in Lambeau, guys. This is basically a pick, and we're picking Green Bay -1, hosting the Rams. Isaiah?
Oh, man, Stafford's looked awful recently. So I'm going to go...
Von Miller getting used to the new uniform.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Rams.
Going to go Rams?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go Green Bay here, Trey. I think they're a better team and they're at home. Aaron Rodgers in November at home. I'm going to go that way. Devontae Adams is healthy, so I'm going to pick the Packers.
Yeah, losing Robert Woods is a big deal for this LA Rams team that all of a sudden is having a really hard time on offense. I think I'm going Green Bay here, too, and the fact that it is at Lambeau is the determining factor.
All right, gentlemen, Tampa Bay at Indy. It's a battle of teams Tony Dungy coached for. Tampa Bay -2.5 on the road. Interesting line there. Isaiah, what do you think?
Indy, Jonathan Taylor, MVP. Hand that ball off, Carson Wentz.
He is so good.
I think the Colts are better. I'm going to take the Colts +2.5. I get 2.5 on a home team. I know the Bucs are one of my teams. I hope I'm wrong here, again, the theme. But I'm going to take the Colts if you're giving me 2.5.
Wait a second. So the Tampa's favored by 2.5.
Yeah.
Yeah, give me the Bucks.
You like
to
the
cover
Bucks?
This by a field goal plus.
Okay, God, I hope you're right. I hope you are right, and Isaiah and I are dead wrong.
Indy is playing well right now, though, and they're not having to ask too much out of Carson Wentz. That's a big reason why, because Jonathan Taylor is putting together quite a season.
Yeah, I'm not quite trusting the Bucks absolutely right now, so we'll see what happens there. And finally, gentlemen, Thanksgiving afternoon, Cowboys and Raiders. Cowboys favored by a full touchdown, Isaiah. No hook. It is 7-even. What do you think?
Raiders, no CeeDee Lamb, no Amari Cooper. Everybody's hurt and they mama, so I'm going to go with the Raiders.
Everybody's hurt and their mama? Is that what that was?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not everybody and their mama's hurt, but everybody's hurt and their mama. And their mama.
I'm showing Dallas -8 right now.
You're showing 8?
Yeah.
Y'all want to pick it on 8?
Yeah, let's pick it on 8.
You want to pick it on 8. Okay. Either way, I agree with Isaiah. I'll take the Raiders plus those points. Cowboys should win this game by 10, but with those guys out, I don't know.
CeeDee Lamb is definitely out right now. I thought we talked to Ari and he was confident that he could play.
CeeDee Lamb, I don't think, has been decided. Amari can't play.
Oh, boy. Gosh darn it. Do I have to go with the Cowboys here? Damn you guys.
I don't know about to have to. I mean,
damn you guys. Yeah, give me Dallas.
Dallas
to cover the 8.
I hope you are right there, too. I'm rooting for Trey to be right with my two teams because I picked against him and Trey picked my team. So either way, I'm going to win. All right, Coors Light 6-pack picks. Isaiah's in the lead right now. Coming up at 2, we'll do our Supreme picks. That's where we just pick flat-out winners and try to stay in first place. You guys realize the Horn is back in first place this week?
Yes, we are.
We helped with a 3-2 mark last week. And I heard Bucky and Aaron this morning. They are making constant jokes that only Isaiah is the reason that we're so successful. I don't care why. We've just been successful. I don't care.
Well, it's Zay and then Tom McKay helping out, too.
That's true.
He had a bad week last week. You guys went against him on a couple of picks, thankfully.
That's right. It worked out well.
And now Tom McKay has made a very bold statement with regards to this week's picks. I'll share that after the top of the hour.
All right. Coming up at 2, we'll get you a little bit more of that.
Can I switch to the Raiders, by the way?
Can you switch to the Raiders? Isaiah, will we allow it?
Yeah, let them live.
Okay, you're not taking the Cowboys. You're taking the Raiders.
I cannot pick the Cowboys when they're relying on Cedric Wilson and Brown. I know Gallup's in there, too. That's just not a good enough receiving core, especially with Zeke dinged up.
Yeah, I think the Cowboys could win that thing, especially now if we're going with 8 points. They could win by 3-7, but are they winning by 10 for sure?
It feels like a 7-point victory. I was very uncertain with 7, and I started going the other direction against you guys, but I can't fall further behind because of the stupidity that's gotten me here.
I think it's a big, big game. I think they could drop the game in New Orleans for some factors and it not be a big deal. This is the game they don't need to drop. If they do it, I think that's worry time for Cowboys fans. I think there's a flaw going on there.
Especially if Philly and Washington win.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden the heat's back on and that big lead we were talking about 4 weeks ago has melted away like that.
Yeah, what happened to these NFC East teams other than the Giants last night? What happened to the Philadelphia and Washington teams that sucked? What happened to them? Every time I see Heinicke throw a ball, it's like a laser beam into an NFL window, and they catch it, and Jalen Hurts looks like the dude that ran all over my Aggies back in the day. Remember that game where he ran for like 200-and-something yards? You probably don't, but I do. I vomit over that one frequently. That dude ran all over the place back in the day. He's looking like his Alabama version now, running it.
Both guys are gamers, and Philly is doing a good job of not having Jalen Hurts throw the football too much. Taylor Heinicke's just a joy to watch. That guy,
despite
the fact that he may not have the measurables, he is an NFL quarterback just based on the competitive nature alone.
He's dialing up some throws, man. I'm impressed right now. And I hate to say that as a Cowboys fan. All right, Supreme Picks coming up at 2. Up next, Isaiah Collier with Where We At in Society. We will find out the Tuesday before Thanksgiving on the Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
Uh-oh. Here we go. Now this one I think Trey's got. Trey, you got this one, right?
Huey Lewis in the News.
Very good. Heart and Soul, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Another one I wish I'd seen in their prime. Why didn't I go see them on like the sports tour? What was I, an idiot? Come on.
This was an album my parents jammed. I don't remember a ton of music from my upbringing, like music that my family really enjoyed. My mom and dad enjoyed. George Strait's on that list. REO Speedwagon's on that list. This specific era of Huey Lewis, definitely on the list.
I'll throw it out. If you're gonna say that you've heard every album in the 80s that sort of mattered and told the story of the 80s, if you haven't heard that one, I think you're lying to yourself.
Right.
That album took over for about 2 full years.
There's a reason why Huey Lewis made an appearance on American Psycho.
Yes.
Which was just the perfect 1980s movie.
I finally saw that one last couple of years. Christian Bale.
Were you okay with it? I mean, there was a dark comedy element to it. It gets very gory, though.
Thankfully, I watched it at my pace. I watched that movie in 20-minute chunks. Chunks is the appropriate word. Mm-hmm. I got through it, though. I wouldn't want to sit through 2 hours of that in a theater or whatever it was, hour and a half, hour 40. No, I had to deal with that and get away from it and come back. But, yeah, Huey Lewis in the news, great stuff there. Isaiah Collier giving us some great music, a diverse group. He just followed up Rat with Huey Lewis in the news. So there you go. Mm-hmm. We got the Supreme Picks coming up at 2. Reminder, when we get to 3 o'clock, that is RBKD live at Randall's out there on FM 620. If you've never seen anyone do a radio show in a grocery store, it is something to see. I've been a part of it. It's weird. It's never normal, but it's always fun, and especially when you guys come out and say hi. Rod and Kevin at Randall's with your chance to get those great home tickets with the VIP upgrade for some of you. Get on out there and get registered. Longhorn Blitz podcast at 7 and a special edition of Under the Lights tonight at 8. And best of luck to all those high school teams that are still involved. Check out Rick and Jeff and the show at 8 o'clock tonight. Player interviews, coach interviews, getting you ready for more playoff action this week. All right, let's go. Where are we at, and see if we got Gundy today?
Where are we at in society today?
Oh, there you go. That'll get him some good luck for Bedlam. Let's get a win there, Oklahoma State, with that defense. Isaiah Collier producing for us today. Isaiah, what do we have?
Thanks, fellas. So, Trey, I'm going to ask you this question.
Okay.
Since you're the guy who does the majority of the interviews at this station, have you ever had a interview where the guest walked out?
Has anyone ever walked on Trey Elling?
I don't believe so. There was one interview where I asked a very probing question. It was the artist's name is Allison Moore. She's with Hayes Carl. I don't know if they're married technically, but they're dating one another.
Now, what does she do?
She's
a musician as well.
A musician, okay, yeah. Okay. She performs, and she's also a pretty prolific songwriter. Well, she wrote a memoir about a very traumatic experience from her childhood, where she and her sister were inside their home when their dad came and killed their mom, and then killed himself.
Oh, jeez.
And there was a long history of them being together and him being abusive towards her. And the question I asked is, why do you think your mom stayed with him for so long, considering how much he was abusing her? And I heard her almost hang up on me.
Whoa.
She kind of composed herself, and then she answered the question. She gave a very short answer, and then I quickly moved on to the next thing. So that's the closest that I've come to answer your question.
And Jeff Ward a few minutes ago, because it felt like Jeff Ward probably wanted to exit, maybe.
Right.
Yeah, he sounded ticked.
he was fine. All right, what do you got, Isaiah?
Okay, so you clearly did your research in order to ask that question. You have had to have done your research to know about her life like that. Well, this guy, Australian reporter Matt Duran, got the chance to interview Adele.
Whoa.
Okay.
His company, who sent him out to London to interview Adele, it costs over $1 million to do so. When Adele asked him, "Have you listened to my album 30? This fool said, "No."
Oh, wow.
"I haven't." Adele then was very confused. She's a classy woman, but she walked out with grace.
So wait, he was there to interview her about the album?
Yeah.
Right?
Like, yes.
Kind of a prerequisite?
Yeah.
Like if Trey tells an author he's going to interview them about the book, he should probably at least have skimmed the book.
At least read the back.
At least read the back.
At least read the first and last paragraphs of each chapter.
Read the dust jacket, and in this case, maybe hit 3 or 4 tracks, right?
This is Adele.
And then
lie?
Yeah.
Listen to 3 tracks and then lie to the woman. But
easily the most anticipated album of 2021. Mm-hmm.
So
easily.
Is it out yet? It's already out.
Yeah, it's out.
Have you heard it?
Yeah.
I have not been through it yet. Is it great?
Yeah, I'm a depressing white woman. It's amazing.
Wait a minute. Clarify that one. If you're a depressed or depressing white woman?
Either.
Both.
Both. Both will enjoy it?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. I can relate. When I got into that mode, I could then relate.
Do you think the voice is all the way back to where it was?
If I have Trey's ears, then probably not. But my ears, yeah, sounds good.
Okay. No, your ears are the important ones here because you're not as much of a music snob as we are. We need you to be a normal music fan.
I am, but I don't really go back and listen to 19 or 21 to compare her previous albums, but she sounds good to me.
Good.
What food do you typically turn to when you're in depressed white woman mode? Haagen-Dazs?
Yeah, probably a good Blue Bell. Nice tub. They call it tub, right?
Tub of the bell.
Yeah.
The tub of the bell.
Yeah. I always think either ice cream or bonbons involve ice cream, right? A bonbon has ice cream in it.
Are bonbons still around? I know that was a popular cliche back in the 80s and 90s.
When I was young, I always thought of it as a depressed woman ate bonbons when she was depressed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what depressed men ate. Depressed men would eat ribs.
No, depressed men.
That's what I thought.
Depressed men would eat their feelings. Back in the 1980s.
In the form of everything. Yes, that's true. Good point. Eat their feelings and then wear overalls. There you go. If you're going to interview Adele, you probably should have heard the record. He's honest, though. That's true honesty right there. To look Adele dead in the face and say, sorry, I've not heard the record.
I'm not seeking out Adele's record on my own, but if I was going to interview her and it was based around the promotion of the record, yeah, I would make sure to do that much. That's not even homework. You're not even having to read anything. You're just having to listen.
Yeah, that's silly, man.
And by the way, you traveled from Australia to England?
Yeah,
it's not like you didn't have some time.
He's suspended for 2 weeks for that, by the way.
That's a great point. The man got on a flight from Australia to England. Is that where you told us the trip was?
Yeah. Her homeland.
Think about how long that flight is.
Ah.
There's no way the record's that long. There's no way. She could have put bonus tracks on it, live tracks on it. She could have put 15-minute tracks of herself explaining every track, and it's still not that long.
Yeah, listen to it while you're trying to fall asleep. You know that's not actually going to happen. Good Lord.
That really is fantastic. He should be suspended. He is. Yeah, that's perfect. He's going to spend the rest of his career trying to live that one down.
Mm-hmm.
That is awful. All right, coming up, we will hit a little bit of the Supreme picks. While we do have a quick moment, just a quick temperature check, Trey. Texas football, are you going to the game Friday? You said earlier you might go?
Yeah, I am with my friends from Whitestone. I'm really looking forward to that.
Now,
what was your question?
Well, now I have a different question. If you're going with the folks from Whitestone, are you going to keep it non-alcoholic, or are you going to maybe lean the other way?
We'll see where they are with things.
Okay.
If they're having some refreshments, I may go that route too.
Now, are you getting to sit in some like cool Whitestone seats, or is this just...
No, Whitestone's sitting in my seats.
Oh, that's nice.
I invited those guys to the game.
That's not as good. No disrespect to your grandfather's seats.
No,
but
it's great. I love sitting there watching games.
So you stand for the whole game no matter what?
No matter what, absolutely not. Oh, okay. I'm on record and being in that Kevin and Bob Dunn category where I will beat the crowd when necessary, especially if the outcome is already determined. Plus, I have the built-in excuse of having to make it here for postgame.
Okay, your gut right now, when you say out loud to whoever it is that's in your car, I'm assuming there'll be somebody that you have to take with you.
No.
Oh, no. When you
I speak to myself a lot in the car. It's okay.
When you stand up and say to the group, fellas, gotta go. What does it say on the scoreboard? Quarter is what? What number? What's your gut tell you here?
I mean, hopefully it's the fourth quarter. And hopefully Texas is up by like 14 points, just getting the football back with like 5 minutes left.
There you go. That's what I wanted to hear. That's good.
That's not going to happen. I mean, that's the dream scenario.
You could have said that a little more dramatically.
Hey, there's something that... Apparently some Aggies are bent out of shape about Steve Sarkisian's press conference yesterday.
I can't believe that's true.
I know, we're both shocked by this.
I am shocked by that.
Let's talk about this on the other side after we get through our Supreme lending picks.
All right.
Because talk about being overly sensitive, which both fan bases are at times.
My people being overly sensitive about the Longhorns?
Toward the other especially.
I have no idea what you're talking about. We'll talk Supreme picks and then we'll figure out what the Aggies are upset about. Coming right up on the Horn.